a verse in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Actually, Steve Hepden came down on the train to see me the week before last. He just said he wanted to come down and pray with me. So he came down on the train from Lancaster, spent the day with me, and then went back again. He hadn't got a word from the Lord, but he just got a verse that had been stirring him. So as he began to share this, he prayed for me with it. And this morning I was... We have to be careful, don't we? Because we have to make sure we get what God wants to say to us from the different things that have been said in the last few minutes. Because the truth is, it is really good news. Good news can be administered with tears, I've noticed. But it is really good news we're talking about. And over the weekend before last, or last weekend, I made the mistake of feeling sorry for myself. I do that sometimes. Not very often these days, because so many people get on to me about it. But I did it on the quiet. You know, I didn't let Molly know, but I have committed myself to Steve Wendells from Riverside that I make myself accountable to him. And therefore, if I'm really feeling a bit rough in some way, he'll get a phone call. Molly, I don't know whether Molly even knew that I'd rung him. And, I did, because I told you. Because he didn't understand what I was saying at first. Because I said to him, I'm struggling with this weight. And he just kept talking, you see, and eventually he realised what I meant. He thought I was having some sort of serious physical difficulties, and I was just talking about the pressure. Because I'd made the mistake of reading the internet about this new treatment I'm on. I was really only wondering what it costs, if I'm honest, because they told me it was very expensive, so I thought, I'll just have a look. But as I did, I read some phrases. They weren't new to me. I knew perfectly well. But it was a bit like, because I'd seen them on the internet, they were a bit weightier on my shoulders. And I began to feel a bit sorry for myself. And coming in this morning, usually this is the best place to be when you don't feel well. You know, you should never make the mistake of saying, I don't feel good this morning, I'm not going to church. You should do the other thing. You should say, that's the best place to be. Not just because God's around, because of course God's around with you wherever you are. But actually in here, it's not just God's around, but a whole load of God's people who love you are around. And then together as you stand, it makes a massive difficulty, a massive difference. Can be a difficulty at times, but normally it's a massive difference. But this morning, I felt, am I going to cry this morning? And then I began to examine why I wanted to cry, and it was because I wanted some sympathy. Well, that's no good, is it? That's just not good. It's just not good at all. So I restrained myself and stood up as much as I could and sang all these great songs that I believe in. And they did me good. Now, this is the verse I want to bring to your attention. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, well, chapter 29, trouble is you need the context. David had got an army around him. And he'd made himself available, would you believe, to the Philistines. I know that sounds crazy when you remember, because the thing we remember about David is he killed the giant Philistine and they were overcome. But a few chapters later, and therefore a few perhaps decades later, he and all these mighty men, they made themselves available to the Philistines. Now the interesting thing was, the Philistines' leader said, actually we don't want you. And although they didn't say this, the truth was they didn't trust him. Now he was totally trustworthy and he would have been okay. But they said, no, we'll be okay without you. We don't need you. Go back to your homes. And chapter 30 says, it happened when David and his men came back to Ziklag on the third day. Now, Ziklag is the place where at that time he was living. And all his army and all their wives and all their kids and everything they had was in Ziklag. And it says, when they came back to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, had overthrown Ziklag, burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, carried them off and went their way. So when David and his army get back to Ziklag, their families aren't there. no kids, no wives, and they don't know what's happened. Now, you can probably imagine the response some of his soldiers had at that point. You know, they were David's mighty men and they did the best for him, but this was a bit much. And I think in the end they felt he's made the wrong decision, it's his fault. And it says in verse 6, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and daughters. And then there's this brilliant phrase, which is translated in different ways. And I like the older translation. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. Because in the end, David was alone. All his mighty men, all his army, at that point in time, even though they had come from all sorts of places and rallied round him to stand with him when Saul was still trying to get rid of him, actually. But at that moment in time, he was entirely on his own. But it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I just think that we've got a mixture of two things going on this morning. We've got an acknowledgement that there are pressures and difficulties of all shapes and sizes that are pressing in on us. Not everyone. And I don't want everyone to go away with the weight of everyone else on their shoulders. There's no need for that. And yet we are aware. And of course, then we become aware that surrounding us are many, many more people who carry similar weights, more extreme weights, all sorts of things around us. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I've been thinking about that ever since, and I've been thinking, what does it mean? Now, for me, one of the things it has meant, because I've tied it in with some other emails and some other prophetic words that have been given to me, and in part, for me, because of what's been said to me, I have begun more frequently to sit down at the piano and just sing to the Lord. I haven't done that sort of thing for years. I normally do it with other people. I know I have a reputation for singing louder than most people. That's okay. But on my own, I haven't done it for a while. But I suddenly found that to sing, particularly to sing in my spiritual languages, and not concern myself with the words, just to sing to God, I've just found something's happening. Now, it'll need more than a couple of songs, to be honest. You know, but I know that God has said, part of my business right now is to make sure I strengthen myself in Him. And I want to encourage everybody, every one of us this morning, because we've all got something or other that isn't quite as we wish it were. And we can. Strengthening yourself in the Lord sometimes means you pick up the phone and you ask somebody to help you. That's part of the process. Sometimes you get on your knees and you're waiting for God to give you the answer, and sometimes you do have the answer. Sometimes you have to walk free of something. It's a whole mixture of things, but the truth is we need to find that strength that only can be found in God. But it is interesting, isn't it? It says he strengthened himself. He was a part of the process. Happened to watch a clip last night, because somebody had encouraged me to do so, of Reinhard Bonnke. And he was in the same way saying, you know, actually, there are things that we can do. In fact, he was back on the track of the stepping out of the boat routine, which we've mentioned before. You'd only know you can walk on water if you step out of the boat. Most of us wouldn't do it. I don't do it very often. In fact, you know, I found something I'd noted down that said, somebody prophesied to me that that was the way I thought it wasn't a good idea. Well, I've had to change my thinking. But I just want to encourage you this morning, and the other thing that's been saying, can you hear the rain? Well, I believe I can hear the rain. But you know, when the rain is about to come, and even looking physically at the rain in this country, or the water in this country that's been where it shouldn't be, you know, we've seen two examples of burst water mains in the last week, one of which totally flooded a village that would not normally, you know, they're not near a river that would flood them, so suddenly there's a broken water main. When you look at them, these water mains, they're old. What are they made of? Cast iron? They're not made of a nice, safe, modern plastic, because they've been there for a long time. And then when you have the variations in weather that we've had, I'm not going to prophesy that we'll get more burst water mains, but I shan't be surprised if we do. There are all sorts of things happening around us, but you know, also, there is an enemy around who seeks to, well, the Bible says he seeks to devour us. It's an extreme statement. And so, if there is a sense that you and I can hear, there's the sound of the rain coming, God's about to do something, then the enemy is also going to draw our attention to the difficulties and the things that irritate us, and may even seek to put some things in our way that will cause us trouble. So we shouldn't be surprised if we enter a tough time when at the same time we're saying, but the rain's coming. The rain's coming. In Isaiah 43, it says, what does it say? Let me just think it rather than... do not dwell on the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And sometimes we can dwell on the past things that were good, let alone the past things that were bad. And we can so dwell, if only we were back there and then. And other times, you know, that was so hard. And God's doing new things. And I really do believe he is. And I'm putting myself in the way of new things. Some of you will remember, it must be about a year ago, when Molly and Johnny and I went up to Hull. And we came back in a bit of a state. And we had an even madder meeting than we're having this morning. Johnny sat and played the drums all morning crying. And I couldn't stand up straight. And abandoned what I was going to preach, which looks as though I'm probably doing that again. And we, you know, we heard from God. There were prophetic words. There were words of knowledge and so on. And there was a sense of excitement. And it hasn't gone away. And actually, as it happens, some of us this week are going to hear the same guy again. Well, I say hear the same guy because, to be honest, that time we went last year, we didn't really hear him. I don't remember him preaching very much. There was just a remarkable sense of God's doing something. And that's about all I could say. And, you know, somebody could have stirred it up. You just can't tell, but you just know somehow, I reckon God's in this. That's why Molly and I went to this sort of Welsh outpouring that seems to have happened. I mean, just imagine if somebody came in here this morning in a wheelchair and we offered prayer for healing, and that person who had been in the wheelchair for 10 years and had been paralyzed from the waist downwards, if that person stepped out of the chair, lifted it up above his head and walked round the room, you would be inclined to think God was doing something, wouldn't you? And that's exactly what they thought, and they've been meeting every night apart from Fridays ever since, just seeing what God will do. So when we were only 60 miles away, we thought we would go as well. And I'm sure God was there, but I can't really tell you what was happening. So this week, since Nathan Morris is in Hull again, in fact, Johnny sent a note out to a few folks saying, we're going up to Hull on Thursday to see Dad get healed. Anybody want to come? So I thought I'd better go. And actually, I'm going twice. I'm going Saturday as well. Now, I don't know what God's going to do. I'm not just going to get healed, though I put myself in the way of that every time because I'd be a fool not to. But there is a sense that God's doing something. What do we do about it then? What do we do about it? How do we respond? Just let me check to see if there was anything I was planning to say that's relevant before I abandon it altogether for another day. Let's just look at that Isaiah passage. Let's do it that way. I just love this passage. So I'm just going to draw your attention to it, and we'll let God speak to us, shall we? I'm looking at Isaiah 43. And there's so much promise in this whole chapter. A few verses at the beginning says, don't fear, for I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And actually, God was just drawing attention to what he'd already done for them. That's what he was doing. So often, that is the sensible place to start. That's why our prayers should always start with thanking God for what he's already done. Because when you pause, you know, I mean, I don't know what your response is to the idea of somebody who's been in a wheelchair for 10 years getting out of it. And I understand that the minister who was about to pray for him was somewhat discouraged as he came towards him. Well, you would be. And you need to ask such people, what can I do for you? But in this case, God did it. Wow, I wish I'd been there. I'd love to see something quite as dramatic as that. But there's no doubt it happened. That is the point. It's not one of these stories that's been around so many travels that it's got bigger and bigger all the way. It is. It's a fact. God did it. And as far as I understand, that man's not been near. In fact, he left his wheelchair in the building. I'm told it was there for quite a while. I didn't see it the night I was there, but it might have been there. Listen to this. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. We have to absorb those verses, you know. We have to know that's true. Because in the end, we won't believe God's bringing us freedom if we don't believe he loves us. We've got to start there. We've got to start there. And we've got to deal with issues like, I'm not worth loving. I mean, several people have said to me when I've told them how much my new treatment's costing, several people have said, you're worth it. I don't know whether the NHS thinks I'm worth it or not. It must do, because it's giving me it. But it's so easy not to find it difficult to receive even a simple statement like that, isn't it? Because most of us can think, well, there's an awful lot wrong with me. And it's probably true. But then verse 18, this is the one for me. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it happening? That's the question. Well, the truth is, some of you are probably sitting there, no, I haven't seen it, Graham. I'm not going to ask for a vote of hands, but I'm quite certain there are some people in this room saying, well, I haven't seen it, Graham. And there are some people who are saying, yeah, but you've been talking that way for a long, long time, Graham, and I still haven't seen this happen. And I've come to the conclusion, yes, I have been talking that way for a long, long time. No point in giving up now. No point in giving up now. And so I actually think I can perceive it. But I could talk myself out of it. You could talk me out of it. You know, if you analysed what happened to Molly and me in Wales, you could talk me out of thinking God was there. You could. It wouldn't be that difficult. And when we went up to Hull, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know, because it was borderline riot. I mean, it was in Hull City Hall, so therefore every chair's firmly fixed to the ground. They can't be moved. They're the tip-up seats type, so people can't go wandering all over the place like they might do in some places. In fact, it was very difficult when this visiting preacher said he was going to pray for everybody in the place, and there are 500. Fortunately, we were early in the queue and went home. But then, you see, there was a point where Jared Cooper, who's a songwriter who leads the church up there, he suddenly appeared behind me and he started praying for me, and I thought, this is good, this is good. And then he dragged me onto the stage, and I was up there for what, 15 minutes? And folk must have been watching thinking, who's he? Nobody would have known. And Nathan's praying for me, and he's got two people holding him up and making sure he doesn't fall off the stage, and then two people propping me up if I fell down. And I was there for probably 15 minutes, and I came away, and I'm not yet healed. Now, what's that? What's that? You see, you could talk me out of it if I was negative. You could convince me, say, well, it's just a show, Graham. You know, it's just these Christians are a bit like that. But I can't do that. And you see, you could even look at me the next morning or Johnny crying and you could say, yeah, but. You could talk us out of it. And we can be talked out of this. But the thing is, we can't afford to be talked out of it because this is true. So, if you don't perceive it yet, you can do two things. Well, I suppose you could do three. You could say it's not happening. Or you can say, well, I'm going to believe some of the people who are seeing it because they've been right sometimes before. And you can also, it's not an alternative, you can also say, God, would you just show me? Would you just let me catch a glimpse of it? And then sometimes you'll find yourself reading things in here, or you'll find yourself praying something, or you're just reflecting on something, or you hear a story like those stories that Janet told and the stories that Kirsty told, and you'll think to yourself, it is happening. It is happening. Now, I want it to happen in my lifetime. I don't know about you. I've been wanting that for a long time. But actually, if I can contribute something to it, and it happens after my lifetime, I'm still content. Still content, because I'm signed up for an eternal life. So whether I'm this side of the grave or the other side of the grave, it's not too serious. Except I'd really like to be around. I'd really like to be around. And when you read this, you see, it says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Eric was talking about the water coming. These are great images. God says, I'm making a way in the wilderness. Now, I have seen, Molly and I and Gary and Pam, we went to Israel, as you know, and I've seen what they mean by wilderness. And it certainly needs some water. Certainly needs some water and air conditioning as well. And then streams in the wasteland. And you know, sometimes streams appear. They're not there, but they're under the ground. I still remember one particular, going for a long walk in Derbyshire once, and there was one of those places, I've forgotten where it is now, where I knew there was a stream there, but you couldn't see it. But if you went a little bit that way, or a little bit that way, you could see the water. And both ends were going the same way, so you could be pretty certain it was under there, but there was no evidence. It was dry. It was stony. You could walk across it without any issue, but streams in the wasteland. And then God goes on to say, the wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. I mean, it's so good to think that God designed you and me on purpose. And he likes being with us. Isn't that amazing? It is incredible, you know. You realise God's keener to come here than you are on a Sunday morning. I mean, isn't that good news? Don't you think? You know, I'm very excited. But, you know, to think that God wants to hear us sing, that's incredible. That is truly remarkable. But the thing that I'm more excited about is these stories I keep hearing about things that aren't just happening in church. This is the safe place. This is the easy place, in a sense. But it's what's happening in our communities that you keep discovering. God's talking to people. They're asking questions. And you can begin to believe that God is going to make a difference. What it says here, it says, there is a little bit, almost, of a, God says, but you haven't called on me, Jacob. You haven't wearied yourselves for me, Israel. You've not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honoured me with your sacrifices. I haven't burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense, but you've not brought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. And there's this whole sense of God saying, you know, I gave you a way to do it, but you haven't been doing it. And then it says, but you have burdened me with your sins, and wearied me with your offences. But then he goes on to say, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let's argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. God's saying, don't, for goodness sake, be thinking that you're not worth it. Don't, for goodness sake, be thinking, well, there's this wrong with me and that wrong with me. Because he says, I'll remember your sins no more. Now, that's actually much more important than almost every weight that we have on our shoulders. Would you not think? Would you not think? And that is the truth for us today. So, my title was going to be, It's All About Your Heart. And that is the truth. That's where our treasure is. It says, store up treasure for yourselves in heaven, because that will determine where you go. There are a number of choices we make that determine our lives. We've been making some choices this morning that determine our lives. Do you know that just because Kirsty's made a declaration this morning, it doesn't mean it'll all go away tomorrow? We know that. You know, I wish healing was just like that. But it's not. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. But actually, God walks with us through a process. Why? Because on the way, he makes a dramatic difference to us. And you know, it's often in the tough times that you learn more than the others. Now, that's not saying go looking for tough times. It's not go saying don't help anybody out of the tough times. But they are the places where you learn. But they're not easy, are they? But around you, around where you live, there are going to be people who are under far more weight than you are. And we could have had some more stories, because I keep hearing a few stories of different people who, it's like God's picked somebody out and brought them along for a conversation. God's doing it all the time. And we just need to say, God, I'm up for that. David strengthened himself in the Lord. What is your way of strengthening yourself in the Lord? It will be different for different people. For some of you, it is you find the quiet place, you sit, you may read your Bible, you may read a book, you may ponder over a passage of scripture that you've read so many times, but you know it encourages you. You know it makes you feel better. It may be that you'll go and sit with a good friend and you'll tell them what's weighing you down, because you know they won't lean on you. You know they won't bully you. You know they won't either just say they're there. And they won't just say, well, it'll be all right. They'll do more than that. You may strengthen yourself in the Lord. Not many of you will sit at a piano and sing, I don't suppose, but there might be a few who would. But there may be something else like that, where you know. Nick would probably get his paints out and his materials, and he would just spend some time allowing what's within him to find its way onto a piece of canvas. There's all sorts of ways. But I do want to encourage us. There should be some good comes out of the different things we've done this morning that make a difference to us. And I want the good things to be. I don't want you to go home and think, oh, I thought I was in trouble, but listen to that. We don't want to do that. It does encourage you sometimes. I know it does, but secondary, isn't it? But we ought to be going home and saying, well, I'm not about to be stoned like David was. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. He didn't put up a good case with the guys. He didn't say, well, it wasn't my fault. He strengthened himself in the Lord. I just want to encourage you to do that. Just want to encourage you to do that. Just play keyboard for a minute, Matt, will you? And just see if there's a word from the Lord. There are one or two folk in the room actually do really need to hear the actual words. Forget the former things, don't dwell on the past, see him doing a new thing. There are a number of people in the room that, because you're looking back at the former things, you're saying that was good. I liked that. And you haven't actually seen what God's doing as a new thing. But God says, do you not perceive it? Can't you see it? Look for the signs. Look for the signs. I believe God's saying that to quite a lot of people at the moment. Just look for the signs. Indeed, I think we should be going around looking for the signs of what God is doing around us and allowing them to strengthen us, allowing them to encourage us. And I'm being careful not to spend too long looking at anybody in particular, but I do know there are a few people for whom that's big tough, and for others it's just tough. But the fact is, the truth is, God says, I'm doing a new thing. The truth is, God's always doing a new thing. He's always doing a new thing. He's always doing something new. But what he's saying is, now it springs up, do you not perceive it? He's saying, look, there's just something beginning to happen right now. And then this is promise. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. A way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He's even encouraging us. He says, review the past for me. Let's argue the matter. Let's have a talk, says God. Let's just look at these things of the past. Let's just look at these things that are issues with you right now. And God says, I'm there for you. I'm there for you.